Our gospel lesson is still in Mark. However, we're leaping forward a few chapters for today. Our reading will be from chapter 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Would you pray with me? Lord God, help us to take this strange and wild story and hear something in it that we need to take away this day. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Well, I want to begin this morning by currying favor with those who are really into the church calendar. This is Transfiguration Sunday, which is always the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, and always the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, when we begin Lent. The reading for this morning is always one of the three accounts of the Transfiguration found either in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And for those of you who are into symmetry, or who are members of the Association of Professional English Majors, we should point out that there are two times in Mark when Jesus ascends a mountain. Today, when Jesus is sort of lit up like a Christmas tree, and at the end of the gospel, when Jesus ascends Mount Golgotha and is crucified. It's well worth considering which one of those images you feel more attracted to, the dazzling, otherworldly Jesus or the beaten and bloody Jesus on the cross. Maybe that could be our focus for next year. But for today, however, I was struck by some other symmetry. There are two times in the Gospel of Mark when we are told that the voice of God is heard. The first time was at the baptism of Jesus, which really launches this season of Epiphany. There, when Jesus comes out of the water, we're told that a voice from heaven came saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And the only other time in Mark that a reference is made to the voice of God is today, when from a cloud that overshadowed them came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Symmetry. Now, there are oodles of other details in today's passage that, frankly, I think can become a distraction for preachers. Somewhere today, somebody is preaching on the significance of Moses and Elijah making an appearance. Somewhere, some preacher is focusing on the significance of the disciples wanting to build three dwelling places. Somewhere, some preacher's making a bad joke about how Jesus' robes are being dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. But I think it's in our compulsion to master all these little details and nuances that we miss the overall punchline. When the voice of God comes on the scene, I think we're supposed to take note. We're told that from the cloud, a voice came, this time addressing the disciples, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." seems pretty unambiguous. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that there's a connection between us. We're supposed to figure out what's the relationship between the word to the disciples and the word to us. We don't have an earthly Jesus to listen to in this millennium, so what would it mean for us gathered here to hear the voice of God saying to you in no uncertain terms, listen to the beloved? Now, our reaction might be to build structures or to impress one another with our knowledge of historical textual criticism, but anything other than hearing head-on the no-nonsense exhortation to listen to the beloved. Well, you may not think of it, a preacher does have some decisions to make when reading a text like this to the congregation. What kind of tone or inflection do you use? Do you use a deep, booming voice that says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Or do you use a quiet, reflective voice? "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." The preacher has some decisions to make here, and those decisions are not insignificant. In doing some recreational reading in preparation for today, I was reading through the Jewish Encyclopedia, and I discovered that in Jewish tradition, that there's a phrase, bat kol, in Hebrew that is used when referring to the voice of God. It's kind of a unique Hebrew expression that has no real equivalent in other languages that I know of. Kol is a word that would refer to sound or voice, and bat kol would literally be translated the daughter of voice. Well, there might be a couple of meanings here. One sense is that it might be a kind of voice that resembles an echo in its mysteriousness or elusiveness or eeriness, but that is not an echo at all. The Hebrew lexicographer Eliezer ben Yehuda defined it as a voice that is heard as though out of nowhere, so that it is impossible to know whence or from whom it comes, especially a supernatural voice that may reveal God's will. Isn't that interesting? A daughter of voice. Last week, I made a passing reference to 1 Kings 19 when God spoke to Elijah on the mountain. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" It was not a regular voice. It was bat kol, the daughter of voice. I wonder if we've been making it too hard for ourselves all these years. We've been wanting for that booming voice from God, when all this time, maybe we should have been discerning and receptive to God's bat kol. Maybe there is something we could learn from our Quaker friends. In our text today, we are exhorted to listen to the beloved. How are we to do that? There are many ways, I would suggest. Anyone skilled as a spiritual director will ask you to listen to your life. Frederick Buechner says, listen to your life. Listen to what happens to you, because it is through what happens to you that God speaks. It's in a language that's not always easy to decipher, but it's there, powerfully, memorably, unforgettably. Have you heard the daughter of a voice? I know that many of you have read Cynthia Bourget, author of The Wisdom Jesus. But while it's not in that book, she tells of a time when she was young, many years ago, when she was just simply receiving communion, and she heard that voice where she was called God's beloved. Of course, many people claim to have heard the voice of God through Scripture. Now, please don't take this in a sense of breaking a code and figuring out some specific verse, but more likely hearing a voice through a daily meditative devotional practice that I believe many of you are familiar with. Ruth Haley Barton has written a very challenging book for leadership teams on hearing God's voice together. Something far different than just sort of putting our heads together and coming up with a reasonable solution. Richard Rohr describes that as groupthink, as a substitute for Godthink. Well, we might think that there is an appeal to hear God's booming voice. Ernest Larkin assures us that hearing God's voice in its fullness takes a practiced heart, fine-tuned to hear the word of God and the single-mindedness to follow that word in love. It's truly a gift from God, but not one dropped out of the skies, fully formed. It's a gift cultivated by a prayerful life and the search for self-knowledge. In our text today, we are exhorted to listen to the beloved. Once we trust and perceive that bat kol is beloved, this becomes easier. The renowned Quaker teacher Thomas Kelly writes about finding the voice within us. He says, deep within us all, there is an amazing inner sanctuary of the soul, a holy place, a divine center, a speaking voice to which we may continuously return. Eternity is in our hearts, pressing upon our time-torn lives, warming us with intimations of an astounding destiny, calling us home into itself. Yielding to these persuasions, gladly committing ourselves in body and soul, utterly and completely to the light within, is the beginning of true life. In our text today, we are exhorted to listen to the beloved. Last week, we talked about finding and learning to value solitude. Being still relates to the counsel of Evelyn Underhill, who writes, many people feel unaware of any guidance, unable to discern or understand the signals from God, not because the signals are not given, but because the mind is too troubled, clouded, and hurried to receive them. Be still. Seek solitude. Elsewhere today, there are preachers describing a dazzling, otherworldly Jesus as a foretaste of heaven. But I'm doing something much more basic. I'm simply asking that you might learn to listen to the voice of the beloved while you're here on earth. Don't insist on the spectacular. Learn to be quiet. Learn the subtle craft of listening to the voice of the beloved in the here and now. And don't get hung up on nomenclature Well, I find something attractive about listening for the voice of the beloved. You might feel more comfortable saying you're listening for the Christ, or the Spirit, or the Logos, or the ground of all being, or simply the voice. To be clear, I am less concerned this day with what you think about an apparition of Elijah. I am less concerned about your ability to use theologically precise language to describe Jesus as the Son of God. This is what I'm interested in. Are you listening? Are you listening? Would you pray with me? Lord, we all would say that we want to hear from you, but we have such preconceived notions of what that might look like. Still our hearts, open our imaginations, kindle within us a receptivity to hear your bat kol. We pray in Christ's name. Let us stand as we sing this song. It might be a new hymn to you, but I think the tune will be familiar.